Game's over. Only a couple games this weekend. It doesn't matter. We're still here for you. MWR.com is where we our written stuff is at. Recaps, highlights, other stuff as well. You know who it is. Matt Kennerly and myself, Jeremy Moss. And we had a sort of a casual weekend, essentially, with the number of games of what we're normally used to, which is nice, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, we did. I know that some people out there, Raja especially, did not have a casual weekend out there in Vegas.
He's busy with the shades. Penalty? Did he get a penalty in that game? Was he called for one?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Those shades are pretty killer.
They are. Yeah, those are pretty nice. So if you didn't see him, go check it out, where it's like, I guess they're programmable sunglasses.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, there was like, I forget which episode of Parks and Rec it is, where exactly. Tom Haverford is like showing off different parts of his belt that has something customizable like that, which is amazing.
Go back a little bit further, the Pepsi guy.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't electronic, but they're similar type of thing. So those old, early 90s Pepsi's commercial, the guy at the Mohawk, who I guess he kind of wanted to be a white Arsenio Hall or something, it seemed like. I don't know.
Something like that.
That's kind of my take of what I remember watching those. It's kind of the future is here. Pepsi, shades, cool suits. I don't know. But yeah, we had a couple games. We had a Friday night game, which people are like, oh, it's just in Mexico. It's just San Jose State. However, there's intrigue in this game. Partly because, did you see the sign somebody put up at San Jose State welcoming the New Mexico State team?
Yeah, not a great look, but you know they fixed their error, so good for them.
How does that happen all the time?
That's a really good question, because that doesn't happen with any other state.
No, because like I know Jeff Grammer of the Albuquerque Journal, they always see it like NCAA tournament time, when usually both Lobos and New Mexico State Aggies are kind of in the mix typically, or close to them most years. Or if not, one or the other is. There's always that one of those teams in there, but there's never, like, you don't see Florida State, clearly bigger names. It's part of what the school is. Also, the logo colors are kind of similar, sort of, like a maroon and red, so there's a little bit. But there's also, I don't think there's that many other state schools, like New Mexico State, where it's like a Division I program. Like, you get Texas State, but that's clearly, you know who it is. OU, Oklahoma State never happens.
Or even with like Colorado and Colorado State.
Yeah, there's that too. It's like I guess it's just the I don't know, what do you got to be better? I don't know what the deal is, but
I mean, maybe the Lobos are wishing they hadn't shown up in San Jose though.
Oh. All right, let's start there. 32-21. Not surprised San Jose State won. But this game should have been more of a ball. It was what, 20-0? And I'm like, I'm not watching this. And I kept watching because I remember the second half was close. So I was watching like the quick 25-minute game on YouTube last night or something. And I see, oh, New Mexico slowly comes back to make it interesting. That second quarter, those three, couple touchdowns. But we thought that they were supposed to be there. Not the case. Running game was not too bad. But Matt, what's up with the quarterback stuff again? Sirion Jones comes in and does stuff?
Yeah, I mean, Tavakatuia, he just wasn't getting it done.
No.
Yeah, he was 4 of 10, 34 yards and an interception. And, you know, maybe worse than that is like in a lot of respects, it was kind of a tale of two halves, like to close the gap in the second half. But I don't think it was ever really that. But I mean, the most just look at the chunk plays that New Mexico was able to create in this game. You know, they had plays of more than 10 yards and three passing plays of more than 15 yards. And all of those came in the second half.
Yeah, they made it closer, but I was looking through because I end up kind of opting out near the end. I was kind of watching. Yeah, it's 25 minutes. I'm like, oh, whatever, 5 minutes left. It was those interceptions late in the game that kind of killed any New Mexico hope. They had, two in the fourth quarter, I believe it was, one left with field goal, one end of game. But they had San Jose State, like Josh Love did amazing. The second half, their offense was kind of sputtering a bit.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, the San Jose State, there was a lot of things that they were doing really well. You know, again, this explosive element that I thought would be there all along was something that came out early and often in this game. I think the most obvious example, of course, is the 80-yard catch and throw from Josh Love to Bailey Gaither that they had. But, I mean, you talk about chunk plays, and, you know, San Jose State had basically the opposite thing where, you know, they had, I think, 11 combined chunk plays through the air and on the ground, and 9 of those came in the first half.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you could say it was a kind of a tale of two halves. Maybe San Jose State let off the gas a little bit in the second half. But I think that Josh Love was effective throughout. You know, they had a little bit of trouble throughout the game converting on third downs, for instance. Like they were I think there were what, three of or six of
six of 19.
Six, yeah, 6 of 19, mm-hmm. and there wasn't really any significant split between the first half and the second half in that regard. You know, they were just being able to find success on early downs to keep the chains moving, and they just didn't have quite that same level of success in the second half, which, you know, led to more punts than scoring drives later in the game.
But you have 26 points at the half, like, what's the point? Not what's the point, but it's like they were able to absorb those errors and still be fine.
Yeah.
Like, also, they should have won more. They're plus six in turnover margin, or was it plus five, I mean. They should have won by more points because the amount of times they got to the quarterback, they, like, Sherrion Jones does his thing. He throws picks it off or throws picks three times. That's mm-hmm. what he's known for, why he got benched last time. I know he ran for 100 yards. He was efficient on the ground. But if they're going to have him be quarterback, which I'm not sure they're going to do now, maybe play both guys. But then again, you have, like, it's like years ago. I'm trying to remember who the guy was. Where they basically got a running quarterback and a throwing quarterback for New Mexico.
I mean, you're talking about, like, what, Cole Gauchy, that whole situation, and Lamar Jordan and all that?
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, well, I thought that name wasn't sure. But they basically got a running quarterback and a throwing quarterback, which you're playing your hand pretty wide open if that's the case, on when it's 3rd and 9 and this new guy comes in and he wants to throw the ball. And so, but it's not like also Tuioti's an amazing passer either. He's, I don't know, he's a touch better than Jones, but not really, because mostly because he doesn't turn the ball over as much. He did have his own pick. But, like, San Jose State did what was good. Their running game wasn't very great. They brought in Nick Nash, a quarterback who led the team to rushing with a puny 29 yards in that touchdown. But, like, they didn't need to. Josh Love is really good. He had, what was it, the half? Like 280 or something at the half, I think? 290?
Actually, I could bring that up real quick. I'm going to vamp for just a moment.
Yeah, because I remember seeing the alert about the touchdown pass because I didn't watch it live. I'm like, oh, I'll go watch that play.
Okay, here we go. 14 of 20 with 333 yards.
So the second half.
Two touchdowns.
In the first half?
Yes.
So we had only like 70 in the second half.
Mm-hmm. So that that lack of a running game is something else to keep an eye on, because mm-hmm. in that respect, you know, the biggest difference in this game was that Love was a lot more on than he had been the week prior against mm-hmm. Air Force. Yeah. Because the running game, we knew coming into the season there was going to be a little bit of a scuffle more often than not. And in this case, they didn't really need it. Like, you know, Nash and Dijon Packer, they combined for basically 3.5 yards per carry, which against some of the tougher teams left on their schedule probably isn't going to cut it.
No.
But in this case, you know, it might be just a situation where maybe they can get as far as Josh Love will need them or can lead them. But at the same time,
to be the case,
you know, that's something you might be able to get away with against a New Mexico defense. But if you're looking to be like a bowl caliber team, that's something that's going to have to get better in the weeks to come.
Yeah, they are. I should have looked at it before, but the 3-2. When does them even had three victories in a season?
I think that was like what 2016. I think when they went 4-8 in Ron Carragher's last year.
I know they went to the bowl game, the Cure Bowl, a while back too. Yeah. So within a handful of years, but like they're sitting at 3-2. Like the game next week versus Nevada, maybe it's on the road. I could see that being like we saw Nevada was poor, so bad against Hawaii last week where they got blown out. Their offense did nothing. That could be, like, no joke, that could be a game where San Jose State might be able to pull off the upset. They'd have to play better than this game in that second half. But mm-hmm. if Josh Love, or excuse me, Josh Love, sorry, not the other Love. Josh Love throws 400-plus yards, why can't that keep them in the game? Because look what Cole McDonald, why did versus Nevada secondary, just shredded it to pieces.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the next month in particular, you're going to learn a lot about this team's staying power, because after going to Nevada, they come home to host San Diego State, mm-hmm. then they travel east to face Army, and then they host Boise State at home.
Yeah,
So things are going to ramp up pretty quickly from here.
Yeah, I could see maybe like if I'm looking the rest of the way, that you might see two more wins. Like I think they could beat UNLV. We'll get to them, who are just who knows who the coach will be by then. But, like, honestly, like there could be a small chance you beat Nevada. A bunch of road games, that's tough. At UNLV, I could see them winning. Army, probably not, because I think they'll gash that rush defense against the Spartans. And, honestly, with Hawaii, who knows? But I don't think they'd beat Hawaii. But remember last year, it was, like, triple overtime, that game.
Wild
game. So, like, that game, and they're not going to beat Fresno. Not going to beat Boise. Not going to beat San Diego State. All the tough games are at home, which helps a little bit. But, like, they might get to 5 wins. Maybe. That's probably their ceiling, which is much better than I thought. You were on track. What did you say preseason? 4 or 5 wins, I think?
No, I mean, I only said 3 wins.
Oh, 3, okay.
So they've already matched what I thought they would. I thought they were, you know, it was just a matter of being more consistent. And we've seen through the first 5 or 6 weeks that they've been able to do that. Like, there's obviously still work to do, but I mean, compared to the some of the other teams that are struggling a little bit more in the Mountain West, I think you can be encouraged by the direction that they're going.
Yeah, unlike UNLV, who's going downward, we'll get to later. But like, let's go to New Mexico really quick. Like, they had a bad quarterback play. They couldn't move the ball. They're getting harassed all night. Like, if you look at the Spartans defense, yeah, most of it was kind of a second half, kind of a slow burn to get those three touchdowns. But like, they were, they're getting after the quarterback a little bit, but I don't get it. Like, looking at New Mexico's defense as well, let me back bounce around here real quick. How does New Mexico defense do what they did and still lose by this amount? Like, the TFLs they had, the sacks they had, the quarterbacks, the pass breakups, and they still let Love get as much as he did. Like, could he have had, like, 500 yards and they didn't sack him or get, like, seven pass breakups? Like, their defense, statistically-wise, it resulted to nothing.
I mean, I guess it depends on what metrics you choose to look at.
I mean, they got to the backfield. I know it's not everything, but, like, pure TFLs and sacks and hurries. You would think New Mexico had...
Yes, but also, like, if you just look at the season as a whole to this point, they are dead last in the conference on a per-play basis.
Yeah. Well, that's in the passing game.
And it's not
them.
Really even close, either. No. They're almost a half yard behind UNLV.
Yeah, but if you think... I'm just saying, like, if you see a team gets 9 TFLs in the game, you think, heck, they had a really good game, you would think, in some level. Which, I guess they did if you say they shut down the Spartans running attack, which was non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just trying to look for a couple of things for Lobos, but... Like, they ran the ball okay. Like, Sharian Jones is fine. Amari Davis did pretty good. Like, they ran the ball fairly well. I think it all comes down to, like, is just the... I know that the secondary wasn't great, but they have no quarterback to save their life. They're just cycling guys through, and it's just... You have pick machine Sharian Jones, who still might be the best guy to get you wins if he can run for almost 100 yards every game.
Well, I mean, I think it comes down to a couple of different things that this game was really emblematic of. One... nobody in the conference has given up more 30-yard plays, period, than New Mexico does. So it's not just that they're bad on a per-play basis. Like, they are giving up a lot of explosive plays. And then, you know, the other thing that you have alluded to a couple times is just the fact that they have been careless with the football, too. Like, you know, the defense, the only defense in the conference that has fewer takeaways so far is UNLV. But they're also just -9. They have, you know, 10 interceptions, which is the most in the conference. So it's bad quarterback play. Mm-hmm. It's careless quarterback play. It's a defense that's just not creating enough opportunities for the offense to be successful. And, you know, a defense that's just getting shredded more often than not.
Did you know also San Jose State, just really quick to go back to
2.2.
Yeah.
Just saying. Good side.
Oh, right.
They're positive 2.2.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I'm saying, but it helps me play New Mexico. I was going to look up New Mexico's badness. I looked up at CFB stats. I'm like, oh, New Mexico or San Jose State's number one. However, I'll say right now, they're what, +5? That'll help quite a bit. Like, even before, if you take that +5 away, they're still pretty good.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to see where New Mexico is. You said they're -9 overall?
Yeah.
And that's what, dead last in the conference?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, San Jose State is +11 so far.
Yeah. You know, we mentioned New Mexico State mixing it up. Well, they're number 130, 129 in turnover margin per game.
Ouch.
New Mexico State is -2.33 per game. New Mexico is tied with Hawaii at 1.8, -1.8, so.
It's not great.
This up, so we'll do brief leaks. We do it all the time. When is it Bob Davies' time to leave? To part the deserts? And green chili and hot everything there. That's.
I mean, you think it would be sooner rather than later, but they seem to be... content with the way things are going right now?
Like, I guess, but like, they place next week's game. Oh my gosh, do we have to pay attention to CSU New Mexico next week?
I mean, if it's like last year's game, that last year's game was pretty competitive. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, two bad teams competitive. Also, just for note, New Mexico has more wins than Colorado State right now. So, just for saying. But like,
that's cold.
It facts, man. I got the facts.
I know.
I'm just saying.
Have one less win, 2-3 to what, 1-5, but like
play Boise, they play Utah State, they play Air Force. Okay, this is not disrespect Josh Love at all, but I think Cole McDonald and that Hawaii offense is more prone to pass more. Is Cole McDonald gonna throw for like 600 yards? Is Hank Bachmar gonna throw for 425? Is Jordan Love gonna throw for 650? Like, they're just, and is Sean Chambers gonna have his best game of the year, going like 15 of 20 for like 285 in the air?
Let's not get
say it. I get it, but like everybody knows my
didn't be the coach for the past two seasons. Yep. It's I'll ask you this. I won't ask this every week, but is Bob Davey gonna last the season? Is he gonna complete the 12-game slate?
I mean, it doesn't seem like they're really inclined to do anything else than ride this out. So I'm gonna say yes.
What would it take for him to go? Like, what? It's like literally, what would it do for them to say, "All right, this is enough. We're embarrassed enough. We're not competing. We're not getting better." Is like a blowout loss to Colorado State at home. Like, if they lose 50-10,
it's hard to say. I don't know, because you would have thought this would happen a year or two ago
when he's hiding allegedly covering up crimes. I guess I'll say, yeah. But what? Air Force and Navy.
Oh, Air Force.
The bettors liked that last play. Not too happy about the touchdown. Because it was 2.5, wasn't it?
It was. I think so.
Final play there. What, 28-25? Mm-hmm. They're deep. It's like, all right, what are we going to do here? We got to pull out Music City Miracle, Cal and the band on the field, whatever. It goes toward fumble. Was it an incomplete pass or something where they picked it up in fumble, I guess, the laterals, whatever. Get the touchdown to win 34-25 against Navy team who I kind of put them aside, but you were like, yeah, they're good. They're fine. They almost beat Memphis last week. 34-25. Here's one of the comments on Twitter was the best, Matt, which is fact. Which you're probably not going to win, but it doesn't mean that's why they lost. But it's not great when he's 10-25.
I mean, it kind of is how they lost, though.
No, oh, yeah, but I mean, it's not their game plan, I'm saying. That's like, if that happens, there's something not going well.
I mean, because all you got to do is look at like how well were they moving the chains in this game. And to me, I look at like third downs in particular.
Of course.
And it wasn't really that either team covered themselves in glory, but when you were an efficiency-based offense like that, you have to be able to set yourself up for success. So, one, they were 5 of 17 on third downs, but they only had 2 third downs the entire game that were fewer than 4 yards. And they were 0-2 in those situations. And they were 0-3 on third down and goal. And so, you know, their
points on the board.
Their strength really betrayed them. And that's to Navy's credit, where they were able to make multiple stands when Air Force was threatening, especially in that first half, and force the Falcons to settle for field goals. And I mean, it's to Jake Kinke's credit that he was able to convert 4-4 attempts, including 3 from more than 40 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But this was what we talked about in the preview podcast. It was just which team was going to do the little things better. And I would say, if you really look back at the entire game, that Navy was the one who did the little things better.
Here's one question I've watched about this game. Like you mentioned, that he was amazing kicking field goals. He had a 49-yarder. Why would they not? Because this doesn't make sense to me. Maybe it's a momentum thing. Like there's a couple punts. It's 21-9. After Navy gets a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And this is already after they've made the second half, actually. Yeah, made the 49er field goal. So you know this guy can make it. Why would they, like, 3rd and 13, they get 10 yards. Why not? I know you're down, but why not try for a 50-yard field goal when your guy's on fire the whole game so far? They go for an incomplete pass to Gerald Sanders. Ended up not costing them much because Navy went down, missed a field goal. Air Force comes down for a touchdown. It kind of. Or excuse me, a field goal, and then also another touchdown after the fumble to get back in this game. Mm-hmm. But why, if your guy's making it from 45 plus 49 yard, why not try that 50 yarder? I don't know. Maybe it's trying to mix it up, but it's me going back and looking at a few things where like, well, they're so bad already at third down, because like at that point in the game, they already were pretty bad on converting third and long. Like you mentioned, their amount were short yardage. That one was 1st and 10, 2nd and 13, 3rd and 13, 4th and 3. They get it. I don't know. It's just second thinking, because that would have tied the game and they would have gone overtime essentially and switched things up and could have changed the game quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But still, a 50 yarder not given. I don't remember if there's like weather or wind or what any other consideration to not doing it. It's a long kick for a college guy, but we're already not converting well and they already haven't been. Why not? I thought the best chance already kicked the field goal, but that's me and I'm not the coach, so whatever.
No, I mean, I don't have any problem with that aggressiveness. I mean, you know me. We kind of differ in that regard.
I'm just saying, my reason, like, I don't fault them, like, going for it, but, like, when you already have a lot of data, you're already making long field goals, and you're not converting 3rd or 4th and short. Your better option at that point, for me, the odds would have been kicking for points, just because you've already shown you haven't done well on 3rd and 4th down yardage situation when you go for it. So that's the only reason I would think, go with that option where you've been doing better there than running the play. But it's,
I mean, I think the only answer I could maybe offer is that, you know, by the time they were having to make that decision in the second half, the offense was starting to do a little bit more than they had done in the first half. And when you just look at it in terms of yards per play, you can kind of see the difference where, you know, even though it was only 14-6 in favor of Navy, that the middies really dominated. You know, they were averaging 6.4 and giving up only 3.8 to the Falcons. In the second half, it was a lot different. And I think a lot of that is due to the fact that Donald Hammond really kind of came to life. You know, in the first half, he was only 3 of 9. In the second half, he was 8 of 17, and they were picking up a lot of chunk plays down the field in a way that they really weren't early on. So that's in that particular context, I don't really blame them for making that decision.
Well, I'm not either. I'm just kind of curious. Like, it's like either way would have been fine, but it is what it is. It happened. They thought they'd do it because they had the 10-yard play before. And so, like, the game overall, like, they were missed field goals, fumbles, like, the turnovers, like, Air Force had chances in that second half, too. Like,
yes, they did.
Defense came back, the fumble recovery, which they turned to touchdown. They forced punt, touchdown, but it was just those first couple possessions in that second half, which led Air Force to, or excuse me, led Navy to the win. Like, they come back, they score the field goal, great, couple punts. It's that touchdown to go up 21-9. It was kind of the difference right there. It's like, if had they held the field goal, quite a big difference there. But it's just that touchdown is probably what did them in, essentially. Like, 21-9, they're settling for field goals. Like you said, they're so close with fourth and goal situations, field goals, and then that one touchdown really did it in. Because after that touchdown, Navy did nothing in the second half. Outside, I guess, the very end touchdown, which is a pretty big deal, that long drive they did, 75-yarder. But leading up to then, Navy wasn't doing all that great.
Can we talk about that last drive for a minute?
What do you got?
Oh, my God. I hated that last drive for Air Force. For one, they were just, like, they were getting no pressure on Malcolm Perry at all. And, you know, some of that had to do with the fact that they were really only rushing 3 and dropping 8 into coverage.
Yeah, because Navy's known to throw the ball, right?
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing. Like, throughout the game, you know, for whatever reason, Malcolm Perry wasn't, like, he doesn't have a particularly strong arm. And if you go back and watch that last play in particular, it seemed like he was really throwing up some wounded ducks. Mm-hmm. But they were just, like they were finding holes in whatever coverages they were, that the Falcons were throwing at them all afternoon long. And especially on that, I think it was like, what, 2nd and 20, where the Navy got popped for holding,
oh,
I think.
Yeah.
And then they go down the field and Garrett Kalpala was just like totally out of position. If he had figured out, if he had determined to like stop like a tiny bit sooner, that was a pass that could have been picked off easily. And instead, like, he was like a step or two slow in figuring out that the pass was underthrown. And he ended up behind the receiver, I think it was like C.J. Williams, if I'm not mistaken, who, you know, brought it in, extended the drive, and then they just really couldn't contain Perry from there. You know, he scrambled, got them down to the goal line, and then finally was able to they were able to punch it in at the end. But it was just
a 4th and 1 play, too, that key, a huge play. To, like, they could have kicked the field goal there and gone up, what were they up there? What's it? 6, but there's no point because they score a touchdown. You're screwed. So they basically had to go for them. They're the team that were able to convert those short plays.
They were just like, that secondary was just, oh my God. It was so bad watching
they gave
them
play
up that last drive.
20 yards per reception in the whole game.
Yes.
Air Force did. Per reception. So Air Force, sorry, you lost 34-25. I guess the big difference was also, we never mentioned the running game. Like, they were completely shut down. Like, Donald Hammond, 50% of his plays or 60% of his yards came on one running play. Outside of that, if I'm correct on this, they had their longest rush plays, what, 6 yards? Something like that?
So, yeah, something like that. I mean,
so, yeah, they
had 108 yards as a team, and that's not
the final play also,
27 yards. The final play
kind
of takes away from that, too.
But still,
so, I mean, if
130.
You see, like, 130 yards on 44 attempts.
Yikes.
Yeah.
They're not going to, like I said, like I mentioned at the beginning, if you're throwing that many times, like, it's graded 205 yards from a statistical standpoint, but that's not what you want, especially when it's 10 to 25. You'd rather have what Navy did, 5 of 7, 144. Great production, great efficiency, huge plays. 10-05, but you're completing, what's that, 35%, 38% of your passes?
It's the little things, man.
Yeah, there's that. There's not converting those short yardage situation, third down, what did I say, 5 of 17. Only one penalty, Navy had 7. Like, on that 2nd and 20, it's like, shut them down. You can win the game right there. You don't let them get a 32-yard completion on 2nd and 20.
No, you don't want to do that.
Does this change too much of your Air Force's opinion going forward?
I mean, not really.
Because they got Fresno next week, which will challenge the offense again, the rushing game.
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting contrast of styles. We're going to learn a lot about both teams, I think, depending on how that game unfolds.
What's that goes? But it does take me a step back because I predict like Air Force to win like 10 games or something. So losing to Navy doesn't help. They can still get to 10 wins. I don't know if they will. But like rest of the way, like they get, here's what's good for them. They get Fresno and Utah State at home. They get Army at home. They get Wyoming at home. Their tough game is like road games are at Hawaii and then whatever, New Mexico, CSU. So they could still win. Like they're not out of it by any means. You're not throwing dirt on them saying you're done at 3-2. But if they could beat Fresno next week, which maybe, I don't know. We'll talk about it later. But their schedule sets up nicely to have them chances to win by being at home in the style of play they have.
They are among the numerous teams in the Mountain West that still have a lot to prove.
Yeah, it's just odd that their rush offense was so held in check.
Another of those teams of which is that a good segue toward talking about Utah State?
Oh boy. Yeah.
Don't say I didn't try to warn you, by the way.
But did you think it'd be like 62-6? Whatever the final was?
I thought they were gonna get blown out. I did not expect the Aggies to score just 6 points though.
It doesn't help. A couple injuries. Guys leave the game. They didn't have Jalen Warren again. But, like, did they lose Sosie Mariner early on in this game as well?
Yes.
So, okay, those don't help. And then here's the thing. I want to get to the Twitter thing. People either pissed at the game, which rightfully so if you're an Aggie fan, but also if you're, like, a rational, any fan, insert fan, we're talking Utah State here, pretty sure we all knew your Utah State wasn't going to win. However, it is disappointing that they were not even competitive because I did some research from a radio show the other day. We're talking about Utah State for a minute. They've not beaten a Power 5 opponent on the road in almost 50 years. They've always had, like they beat University of Utah, but I was in Logan, but that's about it, like, in the past couple of years. We all remember they nearly beat Oklahoma. They almost beat Cam Newton opening week after Heisman Trophy, national title, almost beat Wisconsin. They have a bunch of almost victories along in their history going back the past since Gary Anderson was there the first time. But like, and then, but your tweet's like, well, let's wait until they see Boise and Wyoming. I inferred the tweet you put from our account was basically, let's watch them again against a good defense. I don't think you can correct me if you're wrong, but I'm pretty sure we know each other well enough. You just meant Wyoming and Boise have a good defense and Jordan Love has struggled against good defenses. Not necessarily LSU's defense is the same as Boise or Wyoming. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. People, understand. Some people did, some didn't. Like, you mean they're the same? Like, no. They're a good defense. Look at Jordan Love last year versus Boise State. Look at him last year versus Wyoming. It wasn't all that exceptional. And so, that just drives me nuts when I see people on there. I'm like, God, jeez. Like, people not understand just a good defense doesn't mean they're the same team? I don't know.
This is not necessarily the doom and gloom scenario, but no, I think if you're a Utah State fan, you would have expected better than what Jordan Love was able to do in this game.
I figured a couple touchdowns. You know,
15 of 30, 130 yards, 3 interceptions. And yes, LSU is by far the best team that anybody has played this year. Yeah. This is something we both talked about on the preview podcast. Mm-hmm. LSU is actually like ungodly good for once.
They are. No joke, like, they play Alabama, right?
Yes. Well, they're in the same division.
That's what I thought, yeah. Like, them and Oklahoma are probably... here's the thing, like, we'll talk about playoff in a second. I'll jump in right now, but, like, honestly, I don't see why LSU should not be, like, the number one team in the country. Like, Clemson's getting ranked too high because of last year. They're not that great, and they play in a really, really bad conference outside of, like, Virginia's pretty good, top 20. But besides that, it's garbage. Alabama's really good as always. Wisconsin, people aren't giving them enough credit. Ohio State's really good. Like, Georgia's fine, but I seriously think LSU, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, they go out and win the whole thing this year because they're that good. Like, they actually have, like you mentioned, quarterback play. Joe Burrow, like, this Utah State defense is no slouch. They got torched 5 touchdowns.
It was like, I mean, in that respect, it was kind of like the Wake Forest game all over again.
Yeah, except Wake's defense isn't as good.
Like, does that concern you at all?
In what way? Like, when they play a defense that's actually good, they struggle and can't do a thing?
No, like when a quarterback like Burrow, you know, is able to move the ball down the field in, you know, you know, efficiently. You know, he was 27 of 38, 344 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Well, he's also
he had
the best
8
QB.
Plays through the air that were more than 15 yards.
He's also the best quarterback any team in the conference will play this year, right?
But yeah, and I think that you could probably say the same thing about who was the weight quarterback? It was Sam Hartman, right?
Yeah, he did pretty good.
Does that concern you at all, with the fact that they still have at least a couple of pretty good quarterbacks left on the schedule?
Because they got Hank Bachmeier. They have lots of good quarterback, I'm going to say. Like, I don't know about Jorge Reina right now because of who Fresno's played. Their schedule's just been kind of weird. He's been fine versus USC and Minnesota, but to me it's like I wouldn't put him anywhere near the top of any list at the moment. He's probably just...
And Zach Wilson's going to miss that game, right?
Yeah, and they're going to have Jaren Hall, who's going to be... He's a baseball player playing quarterback, so there's that.
Oh, fun.
Well, he's still a good quarterback, but he plays baseball for the baseball team. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Sean Chambers, whatever. New Mexico, whatever. Yeah, that's about it, yeah. Nevada, still. So, we're not going to know until November
23rd. And even New Mexico can put together an explosive player, too.
Oh, come on. Really?
I'm just saying. Like I said, New Mexico's not efficient, but they've shown that they could be explosive.
There's concern, but the problem is there'll be like a false confidence. Like, if you go back to last year, the schedule is soft. Last year, we all know that. Yes, the offense is great putting up points, and they did fine versus San Diego State. Like, that's a good defense. They put up 20-something points, so that's positive there, where Love did fine on that way. But Ryan Agnew, he's not a guy who's going to torch you in the air. And so that was more of a combined effort, playing a good defense – play well enough, your offense made enough plays, you had it, got up to the big lead. There's a concern, but here's the thing. They're going to beat Nevada. They're probably going to beat Air Force. They're going to beat BYU. Probably. I think they could probably beat Fresno State, maybe. That's going to be a tough game, but I'm just saying, like, when you're asking about quarterback play, none of these teams, until they play Boise, is going to be a concern.
See, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm just, when you look at what those defenses have done on a per-play basis, you know, you're talking about, yeah, San Diego State is number one in, as far as yards per play allowed. And we saw that they were able to slow the Aggies down a fair amount. You know, he still threw for almost 300 yards, but they really made him one-dimensional and frustrated them. You know, kept him out of the end zone more often than not.
Well, they're also good defense, too. You got to give them credit for that.
Boise's number two.
Yeah.
Fresno State's number three. Wyoming's number four. And Air Force is number six. So I think, what, in 5 of the next 6 weeks, they're facing basically every top defense in the conference?
Yeah, but it's also top. Like, okay, if you're taking Air Force number 6, Air Force is, they're not concerned to me at all.
I mean, they're basically neck and neck as far as what they're giving up on defense.
Yeah, my concern, like, if you look at that way, defense would be Fresno, Wyoming, and Boise. Yeah, that three-game stretch, they're all in a row, one road, two home. That is a concern because, like, last year, they missed Fresno. They missed all the tough teams in the West Division. And remember, it was the Wyoming game, like 19-16 last year, something really low scoring.
It was 24-16.
Yeah. So similar to San Diego State game. That's probably a good comparison, I would say. Overall.
And if you look at SP Plus, which Bill Connelly put out his most recent iteration earlier today, we're recording on Sunday afternoon.
Hold on, let me guess. Hold on, because they were the top rated Mountain West team last week. I'm guessing
they were.
They were what, 28 last week?
No, I think they were like 41. Oh, 41. Last week, okay. If I'm not mistaken.
Maybe it's something else. So I'm betting they're probably 55.
Fairly close. They're down to 59.
Okay.
But when you look at the split between, you know, offense and defense, you know, on defense they're still above average, and I think that that's to the, you know, the credit of everybody up front, especially, like, you know, we haven't even mentioned David Woodward yet. He had a sack and 16 tackles. We didn't mention Kevin Meitzenheimer, who had 2 forced fumbles. Mm-hmm. And 14 tackles. So there's still a lot of playmakers doing pretty much everything they could to try and keep Utah State in this game. And I think that that shows up in the numbers when you see that they're still 40th by defensive S&P Plus. But do you want to take a wild stab as to where they are on offensive S&P Plus?
70?
83rd.
Okay. That makes sense, because part of it is, like, look at how many interceptions Jordan Love has this year.
He already has more INTs this year than he did all of last year.
He had more last week, more than last year, I believe, if I'm right.
No, last year he had 6 INTs.
No, I mean last week he already reached that number, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's already been 2 weeks going. And then there's the argument, like, well, first-round quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, we're not NFL evaluators, but pick and throw the ball if he gets any teams and he's worse than last year, or the competition is, well, it's tougher, it's not that much tougher. But look at it, like, there was good, like, some guy brought up our Josh Allen thing. It's like, well, we weren't a huge fan of him being picked that high, and he's doing fine with the Bills, and we want him to do well because he's a fun guy to watch.
He's exactly what you would expect.
Yeah, running the ball around and throwing a fit good enough, and that could be good enough to get you wins in NFL with their defense, the Buffalo Bills, which Patriots only scored 16 points a couple weeks ago, and they nearly had the win. Buffalo had a chance at home to beat the Pats. Mm-hmm. But he's not, like, his percentage is much better. He's just surrounded. Like, had he gone to any other team and started soon, like, if he was on the Bengals or the Browns or the Dolphins, I mean, like, any team that was picking high a couple years ago, he would not have the success due to who's around him. And so there's also a word to be said with that. But, like, we had the same concern with Josh Allen when they played Oregon last year and they played whoever else big-time teams they played. He kind of came up short. And Jordan Love, every time he's played a good opponent, has not played well, or the team has not played well.
In three games this year against FBS teams with winning records, which is LSU, Wake Forest, San Diego State.
All pretty good teams, yeah.
62% completion rate.
Okay.
6.7 yards per attempt.
Mm-hmm.
3 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's 6th in the conference in overall passer rating.
Mm-hmm. Completion percentage is fine, but the other stuff is not.
And again, over the next month, you could probably throw Air Force and Fresno State and Boise into that same mix. So again, we're going to learn
Why Air Force?
Just defense. How much of a first rounder he deserves to be in the next month.
Why are you a believer in Air Force then all of a sudden?
I mean, I think they could hold up well on defense, and we've seen them frustrate Utah State in years past.
Okay. I'm just wondering. Maybe, but I don't think that's too much of a concern. That's more of a – he may have a bad stat showing because of what Air Force does on the ground, holding the ball if they can run well. But also, like, this LSU game wouldn't matter if Jalen Warren was there or not. But losing your top receivers, yeah, it makes it look bad, but, like, if he's a first-round quarterback, that's not – I don't judge that stuff, and I don't know how that stuff usually works for teams. There's a million reasons why a guy goes – top 10 or not. Because remember, we mentioned Garrett Grayson a couple years ago, third round pick by the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's that. So we know what Love can do, but it's also a thing of when it comes up to play good teams, that there's an issue. And, like, there's an argument last year for Josh Allen for us. Like, well, and we always brought up too, like, I even said the year Nick Stevens, like, he'll have a better year than Josh Allen. That's fairly right statistically wise, which a million different reasons why that would be the case or not, because offense is a scheme. But they're like, oh, once he gets to the NFL, he'll have all this talent around him.
Well, yeah, and that's the irony.
But it's hard to project that.
That's the irony of Utah State fans saying, well, he doesn't have any NFL talent around him. Well, this team was supposed to be good regardless.
Yeah,
so what exactly are we talking about here?
And we already knew. We've already said there's concerns. Offensive line gone. Gerald Bright's the only running back. Jalen Warren, that stepped in nice for Darren Thompson coming in. But, like, the Utah transfer, Soucy Mariner, is doing really good. He didn't have it around him, but that was never – that, like, oh, we'll be fine. Jordan Love will, he's good, like I said, he's good enough to overcome that against bad teams. We should add that right now, against teams that aren't very good. And yes, if he goes, here's the thing too, if he's a first round pick and people are saying, like, I saw a recent mock to the Vikings, yeah, that'd probably be a pretty good fit. If you have Dalvin Cook, if Alexander Mattison's still playing, you're throwing to Stephon Diggs is still on the team, Adam Thielen is out there. And is he going to overtake Kirk Cousins? Who knows? Because he has $1 billion, whatever, that contract he signed. Yeah, any quarterback who's pretty good would probably be pretty good with that team. But if you were to go to a team that's not very good, that needs a quarterback, that if he is a top 15 pick or a first-round quarterback draft pick, that's not going to go well. And look, and I can go back to Josh Allen. There's decent talent around him on that team, but not great offensively talent. And they're not winning because he's lighting teams up for 400 yards in the air. And so if they see the talent's good enough and he can go to the right fit, yeah, we could say, oh, you guys are wrong, totally wrong. But if he goes to, I don't know, what's the Bengals, who desperately need a quarterback, and A.J. Green's ankle is still bad, and Joe Mixon can never figure out how to run the ball. It's like, he's going to be next Achilles Smith because of that? I'm just saying, just because he's there, you can't say, oh, once he has NFL talent, he'll be fine. Well, there's also bad NFL teams. Like, is he going to go to Pittsburgh if Mason Rudolph isn't the guy in 2 years and takes over for Ben Roethlisberger? It's like, come on, what's... You can't project and say that. If he's a first-round pick...
If he's going to Pittsburgh, he's not going to be a first-round pick. They traded that pick.
Well, I know. Okay, thank you. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But, like, stuff like a Carolina, I guess.
That's my point. Like, just because, well, once he gets NFL, he'll be fine. Like, say he takes over... I don't know. I'm just throwing off a million teams. But you get my point. A top 10 pick, you're probably going to start sooner than later. And, like, is he going to be Daniel Jones his first game? I don't know. Probably not. That's a rare feat, what he did a couple weeks ago. So... if he's a first-round pick, fine. But also, one last thing, and you can bring up this as well, so I'm not hogging it. There's a great tweet. Do you want bias, or do you want actual thoughts of what's going on? And the people who are probably biased, I'm like, no. We joked about, hey, we're biased against your team. It's because we talk about teams how we see it. We're not going to sugarcoat it just because. And we're also not going to crap on people just because either.
Yeah.
So it's like, Utah State's going to be fine, folks. Relax. You're okay. You lose 42-6 to maybe the national champions, right?
Yeah.
Are they going to be, let me ask you this last thing. Are they going to be a playoff team, LSU?
That all depends on how they play against Bama.
I think they're good enough.
I mean, personally, I wouldn't put a team that doesn't even get to a home championship game in the playoff. Yeah. That's just me.
They got Florida next week. Will that be a big test for you, I guess?
I mean, I still think Florida's a touch overrated.
But, oh, me too. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right.
There's basically like six good teams, and then there's like
40 teams that can beat anybody else.
Everybody from like 8 to 25.
8 to 40.
It's just a huge mess.
Yeah.
Like, there's been at least one team in the 20s that has jumped into the rankings and then fell right back out because they couldn't win, which is a really good argument for just, like, ranking Hawaii.
They are the team – we can say right now, they are the only other team the coaches pull to get votes – or the San Diego State and then Boise State, who's 14 now.
Well, that's good.
All right, yeah. All right, let's move on. What's the next game here? We're heated. That was an early game. We had a big break. We already talked to Air Force because we went out of order because
I think
whatever.
That would be Boise at UNLV, if I'm not mistaken.
The two-night games?
Yeah.
All right, so Boise State. People still weren't happy with the victory for Boise State despite them winning 38-13.
I mean, this game pretty much went exactly as you expected, though, right, in a lot of ways?
Yeah, they weren't going to blow them out. They weren't going to win like 50-10.
They did cover, though, did they not?
Barely. It's 24.5 when I saw.
Still counts.
It count, no,
still counts. Same. Great teams cover.
Exactly. One thing Coach Harrison was reading, Dave Southwind over at The Athletic, he's like, apparently Coach Harrison was complaining about penalties. Not complaining that there were penalties, but it's like, I guess there are a couple blocking the backs because they had 10 for 130, where it's like, those are pretty. Those aren't – it's not a consistent call. You know what I mean? Blocking the back, unlike, say, a false start or offside, yeah. Even holding your PI, they could be, depending on – because I officiate stuff as well. So it's like depending on your positioning, where you're at in the field, blocking the back is – it is subjective. And it's not also, if you touch a guy between shoulder to shoulder or whatever, it's you can't do that. It's hard to tell. But also, you have 10 penalties for 130. They're only 2 of 13 on third down, but yet they still won by 25 points and put up 500 yards of offense.
I mean, at least we know the defense is still good.
Yeah. Defense?
I mean, they basically did exactly... I mean, if you're talking about ways in which the game unfolded exactly like you thought it would,
mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Boise's defense against that UNLV offense?
Ugh. Boise's offense was slow. Ugly. Yeah. Offense was slow a bit, but also, we didn't mention this. I don't think we know in a preview, but Armani Rogers did not play.
Mm-hmm.
Was it an injury health-wise, or was it a coach decision?
Yeah, I think it was Tyler Bischoff who had mentioned that Oblad was going to play no matter what.
Yeah.
Because I think Armani Rogers was still, I think he was like 65 to 70% healthy.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing he didn't play because then he'd have to face this Boise front.
Yeah, who had 11 TFLs, 5 sacks. And also, congratulations to Curtis Weaver, Mountain West leader all time in sacks.
That didn't take long at all.
No, was that first quarter? First half?
3 sacks altogether.
3 sacks, you know, 3 plays? I don't know.
And he wasn't the only one. You know, Kekaula, Kaniho had a sack, so Natani Lui had 2.5, a sack. It was, yeah. It was a pretty good effort all around on the defensive side of things.
Or not 2.5, that's TFL, sorry. But yeah, it's like Kenyon Oblad, let's go back to him. He had to throw a million times.
I feel bad,
yeah. He put up numbers because of volume, not necessarily because of accuracy or efficiently. But he got hit so many times. He got, like you mentioned, all the sacks he had, all the QB hurries, all the... everything that happened against him, it was, and then Charles Williams, who we know is really good, did what he could, but when you're down that many points, went to slow. Like Boise was only up 17-0.5. It wasn't like they came out and go up 21-0 just cruised. It was kind of a slow burn throughout the whole game, where he's kind of slowly extended the lead to get to victory. Mm-hmm. He had half his yards on one play, and that's about it. And like they had Chad Magar who came in and did pretty well, but there was no reason, like, Boise probably could have won by more because of penalties and bad third down conversion rate, so there's that to work on, but UNLV's bad, and they are that bad, right?
Yes, they are.
They have, like, yes, they have decent players. Like, Darren Woods is good, Charles Williams is good. Like, where's Tylee Collins? Did he even play? He had registered 0 receptions.
I mean, I would assume he did.
I think so too. It's like, also could be more. There was a 100-yard, was a kick return by John Hightower called back for penalty or punt return or something. So I don't know if they end up scoring on that drive. I don't recall, but like this is how the game I thought it'd be. I don't. Harsin doesn't want to win like 60-10, but he could have if he wanted to.
I mean, it's the kind of effort where, you know, I can, I guess I can understand where if the offense especially is kind of grinding its gears a little bit against a team that they should be able to drop 60 points on.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's fine. Every team has an off day.
Yeah.
And I think it's just to their credit that they were able to lean on some of their other strengths, especially on the defense side of the ball, to make sure that they were never really
they're
in danger of an upset. Or
yeah, they're good enough to overcome going 3 of 15 combined on third down and fourth downs.
Yeah, because I mean, when you take it into, you know, stock, the only team on a per play basis that's better on offense so far this year is just Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're still second best in the conference on a per play basis. They're still, I believe, back to number one among Mountain West teams by SP Plus.
Probably.
So, you know, for the most part, they're still getting it done on both sides of the ball. You know, maybe you're a little bit concerned about the fact that it took them a little while to get the ground game going. Like Robert Mahone was basically a non-factor, which is kind of interesting. And I think he fumbled and they ended up giving a little more run to George Halani later in the game. You know, and he responded. You know, he had 80 yards on only 9 carries. But again, they didn't really need to do that much in order to take care of business. So maybe there's a little bit of angst, but I mean, if I'm a Boise State fan, I kind of walk away from this feeling like everything's fine.
It's there's, you can nitpick here and there, the running game, the penalties, the third down, but it's like you're fine. You're expected to win. Nobody got hurt. You're okay. Also, rankings came out recently. Boise's 14 in both bowls, moved up one spot in the coaches' poll, 2 in the AP poll. And you're also right too. Like, you see all the bottom. You see the bottom 5 always change. Bottom 4.
You have, and like now the ACC's, the AAC's coming.
Are they?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, SMU should have lost that game to Tulsa, for being real.
Yeah, they had triple overtime, come from behind victory. Cincinnati deserved to be ranked. They're good, but it's like, it's also like Ohio State's really good too. Like, we shouldn't count them out by any stretch. They actually jumped Georgia and are tied for third now, looks like, in one of the polls and just behind them in the coaches' poll. Getting shellacked by them is fine. It's not fine, but it's understandable if that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
But let's just hope their social media person's not a good quarterback or football player, because they just crushed UCF after the game.
That was amazing.
That was great. Go find it. It's basically like the Magic Kingdom theme to movies. And then what does it say? You hate to see it. It's like, no, we're good. We're cool. But whatever. Cincinnati's good. SMU's good. Boise has a gap big enough. I think even if they lose a game, they're going to be fine and win the conference still to get that near six spot.
I can't wait until Temple beats Memphis next week, and then they get ranked.
That could happen.
That absolutely could happen. I can't wait till like Houston beats Cincinnati. Well, Temple,
hold on. Temple plays SMU in 2 weeks. Does Temple also play?
Or no, Memphis? They play Memphis next week.
Oh no, but SMU plays Temple after that.
Yeah,
Houston's given up because Derek King said to redshirt, and he's going to transfer next year, folks. That's what's going to happen.
it's gonna get real weird in the American. I think
they'll be, their winter champ might be like 9-3,
which is good news for Boise.
The only other team then would be App State, who's almost ranked and they're still undefeated, right?
I believe so. Yeah,
yeah. So you got San Diego State getting a couple votes in the coaches poll. You have Hawaii getting some votes, 13 votes in the coaches poll, and the AP poll here, really quick, as we run through this for half a second. Of course, no Mountain West team besides Boise State is getting any consideration. Because, you know, Iowa State and Pittsburgh deserve those votes, right? And also, freaking Arizona. Are you kidding me? Have they beaten a team we've been sleeping and not noticed what team they've beaten lately? I don't know.
Well, they... I don't know. That's a good question. I wish I knew off the top of my head. I haven't paid attention to Arizona at all.
That's a Hawaii loss. I know. I probably should a touch more for what I'm doing, but we've not even cared about Arizona. We talk Pac-12 all the time.
They did beat Colorado on Saturday. Colorado's solid.
Yeah, but that deserves to get you some votes in the coaches' bowl.
I mean, they've won 4 in a row, so maybe. I don't know.
Let me see. I'm actually looking up right now because I'm curious, because the polls are weird and stupid and don't matter.
They've beaten Colorado,
UCLA, Texas Tech,
and Northern Arizona. Okay, that's kind of stretching a little bit. Okay.
And then they play Washington, who fell to rankings after losing to Stanford.
For some reason, Texas A&M is still ranked too. Can we can we just get rid of any team that with two losses? I don't care if you're an SEC team.
If I tell that to my brother, he'll probably try to hit me in the face. I'm like, I don't care. We have a couple brothers that, who did they lose to this week? They lost to Auburn before. Who did they lose to yesterday?
They were off this week.
Oh, okay. But where are they at? 15 or something? Are they ranked high?
I mean, they've lost to Auburn. They're like 23rd.
Oh, there you go. Behind Memphis. Okay.
But even so, get them out of here, man.
You know what's really going to suck? And people aren't seeing this now, but I've noticed it for the past month. We'll get to the – we have one more game, don't we? Yeah, Aztec.
Yes, we do.
We'll get to it in a minute here, but we're going to talk about this because I want to. The college football playoff setup is ridiculous. We'll go back to that. Not because it's only four teams, but because of the bowl tie-in. So did you know, if you look by anybody's bowl projections, people, or maybe I assume you're aware of what I'm going to on this, Matt, the only spot for true at-large for the New Year's Six is the Cotton Bowl,
mm-hmm.
where that's where the group of five teams going to go, and whatever at-large team is available ranked high enough.
Yeah, and that was something I think that Jason Kirk over at Banner Society had mentioned, but like because of the rotation,
it's the worst.
This is like the one time in the 3-year rotation that it's kind of weird.
Because here's why it's weird. Orange, because it's all time. Pac-12 will get a team in the Rose Bowl no matter what. Each team, they'll take the next highest team. So say a playoff team goes in, they'll just slot the next guy up.
Yeah.
Orange Bowl, as I mentioned, how I told you the ACC is garbage? They get to take probably Virginia. Who's okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Let's assume Clemson makes the playoff, which if they're undefeated, they're in. If they get a loss, there's no way they're getting in, I would say, because there's enough good teams. So that they'll take – it's SEC, and I think versus – maybe Notre Dame can go there, but it's ACC above them or something. It's like basically every bowl game, Sugar Bowl, Big 12, SEC, same thing as Rose Bowl. They take the next team up no matter what, so they have that tie-in. So you could have, like, I'm not too concerned about the SEC in that, say, the Sugar Bowl. I'm not too concerned about it saying, say, Oklahoma makes the playoffs. Yeah, it might be Texas versus Auburn. Okay, those teams will probably be top 12. There might be a team or two ranked ahead of them, but that's a fine matchup. I'm cool with that. But if Virginia loses again, like, you could have, like, no joke, an unranked team in the Orange Bowl.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, it would be, because... that's how it turned out. All the tie-ins, it just takes next team up.
You know what I want to see? I want to see Wake get back to a Big Ten bowl game.
Can we get Duke there?
Oh, yeah.
Maryland? Why can't Maryland keep winning? They either win by a lot or lose by a lot. Can we get Coach Loxley in the Orange Bowl?
Yeah, I'm just saying, Wake's at number 19, though. Oh,
that bowl. Okay. Oh, they're not. Oh, okay. I'm looking at the wrong one. Sorry, they're ranked higher. I just assumed Virginia being higher because they have been. I didn't realize they jumped a few teams.
Yeah, in the AP poll, they're 19 and 20, respectively.
Yeah. But it's like the team that'll get in, like, so let's just say, like, even example, say a Pac-12 team somehow gets, say Oregon somehow gets, probably Utah going to Rose Bowl, which is fine for me. But like, you'll have these backup teams who may not be ranked in the top, because theoretically you want like the top 10, 12 teams in these games, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That may not be the case. So let's get to the final game of the day. Colorado State, San Diego State, which, man, that first half, I fell asleep during the first half watching that game. It was kind of boring. Did you feel it was not too up to par that first half?
I guess that depends on how much you like defense.
Apparently people know I hate defense. I was doing things. I was late. I ended up finishing this morning, but I'm like... Also, okay, you want to know the difference in the game right now? I'll tell you. What changed the game?
Yeah, what's that?
You know, there's the turnover at the one-yard line, or the let's go for it on fourth and one and don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
No points. Rams get the ball back, fumble, touchdown, San Diego State. That was the ball game right there. That's all.
Hey, you know what? That's just real smart offense.
That's first.
Honestly, about how Aztec's defense is.
It's really good. Yeah, go for it. What do you
just like? I don't think we talk about it enough, and I feel like we talk about it a fair amount.
We just complain about the offense.
But I mean, it's because they actually, ironically, they actually did gain on a per play basis by the Rams. Because they only had, I think, 3.8 yards per play. I don't think this is adjusted for sacks or anything like that. But at the same time, they only gave up 4.1 to Colorado State. And, you know, they forced how many turnovers in this game?
There were, if I pulled
up
here.
There was a fumble, and then Luke Barku had three interceptions on three straight plays.
Minus four, player of the week right now, lock it in. Defensive player.
That's like a ridiculous... thing.
Efficient. That's what we
three
call efficient.
Three straight plays.
Why are they throwing it to him after three straight times to Luke Barco?
So, I mean, going back to what we were talking about earlier as far as yards per play, you know, they're a half yard better than the Boise State Broncos are. and at least by SP Plus, I think they're still in the top 15 nationally. So, I mean, they're backing it up in terms of, you know, both the traditional and the advanced measures. And, you know, poor Colorado State, they just can't seem to get out of their own way. Like, they weren't even able to create the explosive plays at the same rate that they had been. You know, because, you know, Nate Kriegmeier did have a 41-yard catch, but he only had four catches for 68 yards.
They're also missing Warren Jackson this game as well again.
Yeah, and Dante Wright did have a 57-yard catch, but he was held to 6 for 80 overall. Yeah. And the ground game basically offered nothing.
As you can tell by the fourth and the Marvin Kinsey minus 8 yards. Marvin Kinsey minus 8 yards on 6 carries.
This Aztec defense is really good.
You know what would have been amazing?
And they've gotten better. Like, we knew, like, the stars coming into this year. Like, Kaiva Tizino, you know, was kind of – we talked about David Woodward last year – or last week, rather, making a defensive player of the year-esque play. You know, he did the same thing. It seemed like it was his turn to do that to the Rams. Yeah, he had 13 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss and all that. But, I mean, I'm most impressed by the guys up front, too. Like, you know, the defensive line, which I think was really kind of the biggest question mark coming into the year. I think it's to their credit in particular. You know, guys like Keshawn Banks, Cameron Thomas, you know, Miles Cheatham, who, as a team, they had 11 tackles for loss. And they really did their part to keep Colorado State one-dimensional and force both Patrick O'Brien and Justin Okoye into mistakes.
So what's up with... I want to make my joke here, so I'll come back to it because I think it's kind of good, I guess. How great would it have been if Kinsey had the touchdown? He was 6 for minus 7 and a touchdown.
I mean, that would have been pretty good for anybody doing college fantasy football, I guess.
I'm just saying, that's just a funny thing that came to me. So I'll move on because that was whatever. But are we sleeping on San Diego State being really, really good?
See, and this is something we've talked about in the past. The defense is awesome. Mm-hmm. I feel like we say that every week.
Fact.
But again, like, the offense still wasn't quite clicking on all cylinders, which is not to say that there weren't any positives at all. Like, I think that, you know, the stat sheet doesn't necessarily reflect how well Ryan Agnew played.
Made some great throws.
He did have some great throws, including that to the, I think it was the first touchdown
back
that
in
he
the end
Kobe
zone.
Smith. Yeah. He was 16 of 20 for 147 yards, 3 touchdowns. I think you saw, you know, a bit of the good and the bad with Agnew. I think there were multiple instances, especially when you look at the fact that he took 4 sacks, and I think it was the sack by I forget the guy's name, but he bailed out of the pocket maybe just a touch too early and ended up scrambling backwards, and it ended up being kind of a huge loss for them on the play. Mm-hmm. But you saw more of the good in this instance, just the fact that they were able to move the ball down the field. They were able to take advantage of the opportunities that the defense was able to provide. And I think that if you're a San Diego State fan, that's pretty much the recipe for success kind of going forward, is that they don't necessarily need to be explosive. If they could be a little more efficient, I think that would help. We did see a little bit of Juwan Washington in this game, but he was mostly held in check. I don't know if that's a matter of, you know, maybe he was still not 100%, but he only had 85 yards on 22 carries, which is not what you've come to expect from him.
No,
and,
but
and
the amount
longest
of
his play on the ground was only 14 yards.
But the amount of carries is encouraging that he's able to take the bulk of that and be the number one guy despite missing or playing limited the past month, essentially. And so I think for him being out there, I think it's fine. That's what they need.
But I think at the moment, when you kind of take the whole picture into consideration, like, they're looking like the odds on favor to be the West Division champion.
They got Wyoming next week.
That's going to be an awesome game.
Is it going to be like a 6-3 game?
It seems like it's probably going to be the same kind of classic it was the last two times those teams met.
They played a couple times. I remember they played the Mountain West title game. They played a couple games the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, where would you put San Diego State in their power rankings? Because I need to send out the email to everybody real quick, or I guess you'll get it by now. But where would you put the Aztecs? Like, who would be your top couple teams after Boise State? Like, let me ask you this. Who's your
number two?
Yeah, I was going to say, who's your number two team? Is it San Diego State?
It is.
I have had Air Force. It might be Aztecs. Probably for me, between them and Hawaii.
I can see that.
You don't sound too confident about Hawaii projection there.
Well, I mean, Hawaii is really hard to predict. That's
my point. I know they are, yes. I'm going to agree with that. Like, what other team could, like, what if we're looking at a couple teams, is it just those, are those the two clear cut? Because Wyoming fans are like, hey, we only have one loss. We're doing great. We should be up there. I don't think Wyoming's up there as number two team because we know how the Aztecs offense is limited in a degree, not in a bad way, but
I mean, I guess it depends on how you slice it. Like, I think that Wyoming still has, like, the best win overall.
True.
Because in Bill Connolly's SP Plus article, he did mention that since beating Missouri, like, the Tigers have actually gone on. I think he said they've outscored their opponents 41-8, and they are now in the top 10 by SP Plus.
Missouri? So, overall?
Yeah.
Whoa.
SEC, man.
I guess it's also hard to tell when they're not included in any of the polls because they're on probation.
Oh, that's true.
So that's kind of the reason why they're not being ranked in anything at all, really.
So, I mean, I think that for me, it would be the Aztecs. I think you could definitely make the case for Wyoming, though.
Here's what our poll had last week.
And Hawaii. Yeah.
Our poll last week, our staff poll, Boise, Hawaii, Utah State, Wyoming, Air Force. San Diego State was 6. And that they dropped a spot from 5 to 6.
Yeah.
So I think there's only, like, I could see Wyoming, but for me, like, you can joke about me, oh, offensive guy. If you look at what they have, both teams are built fairly similarly overall, like, what they want to do. If I'm going by the best players, like, Juwan Washington, when he's healthy, the better runner than what Wyoming can offer, even though their running game can be pretty good. And Agnew's actually, well, he's not a top thrower. He's not a guy you want to win the game to throw 25 times. He's like, it's all the Aztec quarterbacks the past couple of years. Doing this game, 16 of 20, 147, 3 TDs, amazing. Had he had one or two TDs, that would have been fine as well if they still got the win. That's what you want from him. I don't think, Sean Chambers can't even crack 40% passing the ball. And so I put Wyoming behind both Aztecs and Hawaii based on that. But comparing these two, they run the ball well. Also, Antonio Hull's officially off the team as well, as is the other player. I forget who it was. That was not Saturday morning. So they're gone for their kickoff the team. So there's that as well to consider if you want to take into that with their secondary. But you can make the case for Wyoming, but I'm like, probably not going to buy it just because I think their offense is it's kind of a good. Like, I don't trust Sean Chambers to win you a game if you need to. I'd rather Ryan Agnew to win you a game if need be.
And can we talk about Colorado State for a minute?
I guess so. Sure, might as well. I guess we're going to off far base. Sure, what's up with the Rams fans?
Like, why is Mike Bobo bailing on Patrick O'Brien so quickly?
I've told you this for like 3 years, Matt. He wants a quarterback controversy or challenge every week. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know you're facing one of the best teams, one of the best defensive teams, especially in the conference.
So let's put a guy who's never played out there and see what he can happen. Isn't Justice McCoy a freshman?
I mean, yeah, I think so. It's just like your first two opponents, your first two full games are Utah State and San Diego State. Can we cut O'Brien a little bit of slack?
Yeah. You should. And he had – did they play the Aztec or Aggies last week?
Yes, they did.
And he had, 400 yards passing, right?
No, he had 200 yards. He had 400 against Toledo.
Oh, sorry. Okay, whatever. But still, you know, he can play pretty well. I guess the only argument you can make is if – let's see. There's two things that why this is weird. One, a good reason. We're getting blown out. Let's see what this guy has just to see what happens. But then he goes out 2 possessions, 2 picks.
They only lost by 2 scores.
I know. That's what I was getting to next.
They weren't even getting thrown out.
That's my next thing. Like, that's why it's so weird because, yes, you lost the game, but.
And it was going into the fourth quarter.
I don't know, man. They're saying, this is from Kyle Fredrickson of the Denver Post, that the competition is now back open. And not only between O'Brien and McCoy, but with Judd Erickson as well.
Who's that? Who's Judd Erickson?
Yeah, the third quarterback, I guess.
Fourth quarterback, you mean?
This team is so screwed, and I feel so bad.
I'm sorry, Josh. I'm sorry, Brad. Your team is Yeah, it's your team. You live and die by your team, Mike.
I just don't give Bubba's in fact.
Anytime there's a hiccup at the quarterback spot, like any hiccup at all, that he wants to make a change.
I have no idea.
Okay, power ranking time, bottom end. I've already kind of said definitively in the article I quickly did last week about the kind of the intro to the power rankings. I might amend that because I said the bottom four teams are probably going to be San Jose State, New Mexico, UNLV, and CSU the rest of the way. I still think that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
But can you convince me to not put CSU behind UNLV?
No, UNLV is pretty bad.
Okay, I want some.
I'm not even going to attempt.
I want some assurances that I'm smart enough to not put Rams number 12, but they'll be number 11, right?
Like Pass. I was watching a little bit of Northwestern and Nebraska.
Hey, how's Nebraska doing?
That game was abysmal.
How's Nebraska doing? Just curious.
And all I could keep thinking was, how did UNLV lose by multiple scores to this Northwestern team?
I don't know. Okay, next week we got Rams. Lobo. Oh, 2 weeks, sorry. No, that's next week. It's Friday night, isn't it? October 11th?
That might be a loser leaves town scenario.
Is that a coach fired game?
It might be.
We need to pump that up as win, lose, or go. Oh, my home.
Oh, but no, it's loser go.
Briefcase officially?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That game. Is there a line? Are there lines out yet at this moment, Matt? Do you know?
I have not looked.
All right, we'll look later in that, but that game. But, okay. I put a tweet out earlier, like, there could be up to 3 coaches fired. I know you don't like talking about this too much, but we'll wrap up on this. If I want you to rank the coaches 1 to 3, 1 being most likely to be gone, 3 obviously safest. What's the order of the hiring or firing practice of these teams, of between Rams, Lobos, and Rebels?
Tony Sanchez is 1, Bobo's 2, Bob Davies 3.
Bob Davies 3? Oh, man.
Yeah. Colorado State, by the way, opened as a 7-point favorite. And it quickly moved to -4. So it's Colorado State -4 right now.
In like minutes, right?
I guess they bet that pretty heavily, yeah.
You'd have to. It's but you think it's Sanchez, Bobo Davey?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay. UNLV by the way is a 17-point road dog at Vanderbilt next week.
Oh, look at Vandy. Okay. These teams are like. Like, here's the weird thing, too. The Rams have talent, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know there's injury luck, losing, like, or bad luck with Colin Hill going out, but, like, we've seen O'Brien throw well. I know injuries well with Warren Jackson not playing. Like, Kinsey should have been fine. He shouldn't have had negative yards even to get San Diego State. He's better than that. But Bobo's 1-5. Do you, honestly, okay, I don't want just us joking around, but do you really seriously think a coach will be fired next week between this game? Rams and Lobos.
That seems like a lot of pressure to say yes, but I'm going to say no. I just like, I think the Pulse, and I think there's like the athletic department in Pulse.
What is, we already talked before. This is
the low, his buyout, kind of low at the moment. It's not very much money.
I think so, yeah.
I want to say yes just to be different, but I don't think it's going to happen. Here's what I'll say. If it's a blowout, and either way that loser, the coach is gone. Like if it's 40-10 New Mexico over the Rams, Bobo has to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're gonna have some fun this week just because that game and other games. The coaches,
intrigue, yeah, intrigue, man.
A good or bad intrigue, it's all there. It's all exciting to see what happens. All right, so that's all we got for today. Oh, go check. Actually, no, we don't have time for this. But we had our Mountain West Players of the Month. We put out really quick. I'll mention staff vote: Cedric Bird, Offensive Player of the Month, wide receiver Hawaii. Pretty mm-hmm. good player, right? Not bad.
Oh yeah.
Defensive Player of the Month, no contest: Curtis Weaver. How are there other votes, really? I'm just saying. I know David
That's because David Woodward's been pretty good himself. Like, let's give him a little bit of credit.
And also, did we have one vote for Manny Jones?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I'm not going to say who that was, but I'm pretty sure we know who it is. There's a couple people who may have voted for Manny Jones. That's fine. Fan vote David Woodward. Aggie fans stepping through. Then we had a really quick... Am I wrong for special teams for not being Savion Scarver? How did he not get more votes, Matt?
I mean, he did have that 100-yard kick return, but yeah. I mean, it's hard to ignore the former walk-on who's perfect.
I guess he got former walk-on got the scholarship. That's fine. There's a lot of votes because Conway has a touchdown as well, I believe too. But it's also good, especially like Ryan Stonehouse kicking high. I like the tweet Michael Felder did. If you're a good kicker, go to a bad team so you get more opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. And I pointed out because I was curious, so I went to 24/7 Sports. Nevada and Hawaii, they got 2 of the top 10 punting prospects in this upcoming recruiting class. So good
there,
for them.
There we go. Fan vote, freshman of the month, Hank Bachmeier. Or no, excuse me, Sean Chambers. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Was that close, that voting? Because you were the one who put this together.
It was fairly close, yeah.
What about
credit to our Wyoming followers for stepping up and showing out.
And also, is Hurricane Hank an official nickname for Bachmeier?
I think it's unofficially official.
Maybe we need to talk to the guys at Breaking Tea for a t-shirt for Hurricane Hank.
If I remember correctly, I think it already exists.
Why did they not contact us on that?
Oh, I don't know.
They also beat the Hurricane in Florida State because they had to move the game. There you go. Were you surprised with Sean Chambers at all? Could you make an argument for him to be the freshman of the month so far?
I mean, he has been far and away the best running quarterback in the conference, which mm-hmm. which definitely counts for something. He's also accounted for 9 touchdowns.
Okay.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, if it's not number one among quarterbacks, it's pretty close.
For total touchdowns?
For total touchdowns, yeah. Because he's got 6 on the ground, 3 through the air.
I think Cole McDonald has more, but that's fine. That's still quite good. 9 touchdowns in, what, 4 games? 4 and 5 games?
Oh, yeah. Cole McDonald has 17, so JK.
When he throws as much as he does, that's going to happen. But now I'm just curious. I forget he's a freshman because he played those games last year, and that redshirt rule is different where you can play 4 games and still play next year.
That's right.
Can we just do 5 years to play 5 and be done with it?
Apparently not.
You know why that's a good thing? Not to go another tangent. If you can't pull a Derek King or whatever guys from Nevada did or other places to redshirt to save you for eligibility to either seriously stay or if you want to transfer, which I still think Derek King's going to do, I don't think that would be the case if you have 5 years to play 5. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's because by that point, you're basically wasting a full year of eligibility. But that's just me. Whatever.
Yeah.
Let's move on. We don't need to dive into anything else. But that's it for our show today. We talked a long time with only 5 games, whatever it was, because it's worth it. That's what we do.
You're welcome.
Yes, you are welcome. We'll be back next week for how many games do we have next week? Do you have the schedule in front of you really quick?
We have 6 games next week.
And one Friday night game?
Yes, we do.
The coach or go home game?
Potentially.
Can we just label that now? Coach goes home. Pack your bags.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna do that. You don't have to. You can just nod and not say anything and let me handle that and take the heat for it. But I seriously think if there's a blowout, the coach is gone. So we'll have those games next week. We'll talk all. We'll maybe do some mid-season stuff in a week or two. We have just the one non-conference game, so we'll see how it goes. And yeah, check us out at mwr.com. You know where to find us: Twitter, Facebook, anywhere. You find our website. There's that. Excuse me. That's the website stuff. The podcast. Excuse me. iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you can find that as well. Just search Mountain West Wire on the internet, and you'll find us somewhere. Right, Matt. Something will pop up with us. Yeah. An article, a podcast, maybe a tweet that we do that people don't like because that happens. But that's it for this week, and we'll be back next time for some more football.